Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I invite you to open your copy of the scriptures to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 here this morning in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I wonder if you've been involved in doing something at some point in time in your life, and yet you feel like you really weren't making much of an impact. You were doing it, you were involved in it, you were participating, yet you felt like you weren't really going anywhere. It's kind of like in the Minnesota winter. You go out one evening and you think, well, I got to get up early and go to work, and so I'm going to shovel all the snow tonight so I can just get up and just drive out of the driveway, and away I go, and you shovel, and you get it all cleared off, and you go to bed, and you get up the next morning, there's 4 more inches of snow on the ground, and you think, I wasted my time the night before. There's snow everywhere here, and it did me no good to spend that hour shoveling all that snow, because all the snow just came down and covered it all over again. Maybe there's been a time in which you've given somebody some advice in your life, and they didn't follow it anyway. Maybe there has been a time in which you have worked, ladies, in your house to sweep the floor and mop the floor on your hands and knees, and you got every little particle of grime, and you no sooner got up and rinsed out your rag than 2 or 3 little kids came through and just marked it all up with their shoes from outside, and there was dirt all over, and you felt like, I worked so hard and I got nowhere. This past week, as we went to camp, we traveled from here to South Dakota, and as we traveled out across western Minnesota, the ground there was just saturated with water. They've had so much water out there. And you looked at some of the crops, and you looked at them, and it just seemed like they were just struggling because of so much moisture. And then you got out to South Dakota, and it was the opposite extreme. It was so dry out there, and you could drive past the cornfields, and you could see the corn leaves beginning to curl up because they were lacking moisture there. It rained a little bit on Thursday morning, and a couple hours later, you couldn't even tell it had rained. It was so dry, it had just drunken all that rain instantly here. Here's a farmer who goes out and he prepares the soil and he plants the fields and he's invested money in machinery. He's invested time in equipment and in planting and working the soil and in the seed and the fertilizer. And here he would go out there and possibly now because of some drought or because of a lot of rain, all of his work could come to nothing. That's very disappointing, isn't it? When you do something and you feel like it's a total waste. This week I was watching as the young people were playing dodgeball games, and I was watching as some kids were grabbing the balls and they were going right after it, and some kids weren't. Of course, there's not always enough balls for everybody, but some just want to stand there the whole game and observe. Imagine if everybody just stood there. What would be the point of the dodgeball game? You can go out there and play, and yeah, we play dodgeball, but you gotta pick up a ball and you gotta throw it, or you gotta catch somebody else's ball if you're gonna get anywhere with it, if you're gonna accomplish anything in the game. Maybe you go to a meeting and you discuss things and you visit about things, and yet you feel like that meeting, though it goes on for hours, never really accomplishes anything. We all know what it's like to do things that get us nowhere. We all know what it's like to commit hours and money and time and energy and work to something, and yet it gets us nowhere. We all know what it's like to not be making an impact. What businessman would want to have a company that merely existed? It had enough sales to pay the bills and wages, but never to go ahead. That's not the goal. The goal is to get ahead and to go further if possible. What charitable organization would operate long without making an impact? Think of an organization that fights cancer, but it never has the opportunity to really make an impact on cancer and to really get involved in that fight. Mere existence is not enough. And this morning, as we look at our church and we look at the future of our church and where we are going, I want you to realize that there are many churches today that are content with making little or no impact in this world. They are content with making no impact upon their community. They are content with making no impact upon marriages and upon homes. They are content on making no impact on turning people from the drink and from drugs and that which ruins their life. And every week, they huddle together, seeking to eke out another week of existence. They're in maintenance mode at best. They're just trying to survive another week, just trying to survive another month if they possibly can. And I want to tell you this morning that God has a bigger vision for the local church than just that. God has a bigger vision for that. And I want to share my heart with you this morning from the Word of God and the vision that God has. A craving that's in my soul and a craving that I'm asking God to put in your soul. That we must be a church that makes an impact. We absolutely must be a church that makes an impact. The title of the message this morning is Let's Make an Impact. When you think about it this morning, by way of introduction, the scripture is very clear that we are supposed to be making an impact. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that one of the tragedies of the last days is that people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're going through all the rituals, all the routines. They know how to make it look good on the outside, but there is nothing to them. There's no power behind it. They're not making an impact. God wants an impact. The scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, Paul says this to that church. He says, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." In other words, Paul is saying, listen, when I see you being the Christians that you ought to be, it is gas in my tank. I'm living, I'm exciting, I'm thrilled because you are serving God faithfully with your life. God wants an impact. Preachers want an impact. The war we wage demands an impact. Paul said to the Corinthians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." God says that the war we wage is a war that has weapons, that is able to go out and to destroy things and to tear things down and to defeat the enemy. God wants an impact. The power of God expects an impact. Acts 1 and verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." He gives that power, not so you can just hold it, not so you can just go through the motions, but so that you can have an impact upon the world around you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is given, one of the blessings of it is because we have an impact. It has an impact. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, listen, if there is no resurrection, then our life is vain. It's just a waste. But you read all the way to the end of that chapter, and he says this, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's making an impact. It's making a difference because the resurrection of Jesus Christ exists. Our affliction can even have an impact. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the hardships and the difficulties that we make, that we have in our lives. The difficult experiences that you went through in your life, and God gave you those difficulties. He allowed you to have those difficulties because He wanted to impact your life and impact the lives of other people. Don't waste your suffering. Don't waste the difficulties that you go with, that you experience in life. The promises of God expect an impact. He's promised that 1 John 5 and verses 16 and 17 that we can pray for wayward Christians and they will get right with God. He's promised that we can have a church service where people will get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 24 and 25. He's promised Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 that He will supply all of our needs so that we can have impact. And listen, God has made humans to crave impact. He made you that way. From the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, before sin even came into the world, He made humanity to work. He put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to care for that garden and to make an impact on that garden. He's put something inside of you this morning. He's put something in your DNA. He's put something in you as a human being that you cannot live and enjoy life without making an impact. And friends, this is why people struggle with suicide at times. Because they look at their life and either this, all of their life has had a negative impact, or they look at their life and they say, "I have had no impact and God can't use me and there's nothing I can do and there's no purpose in life and there's no reason for existing, so let's just end it all." Why? Because there's something in humanity to crave an impact. You want to do something with your life and God put it inside of you. And friend, Ecclesiastes tells us that this idea that I have purpose and meaning in life is one of the tools that God uses to drive humanity unto Him. You take a young person, and this young person has a dream, and they have a vision, and they say, "You know what? I want to be a professional athlete." And so, in their teen years, they begin to sacrifice things to work on that sport. They set aside time with friends. They set aside fun times here. They set aside, maybe they don't focus as much on their academics as they otherwise could or should. Maybe they don't even spend as much time with their family as they ought to, sacrificing all of these things so that they can get the scholarship. Man, they work hard for years. They get the college scholarship. They work hard in college and their team does well and they make the draft. And they get on the team. They've achieved their dream. They've arrived. They get the big paying jobs and now they can buy the fancy cars and the mansions. They've got the attention of the women like they like. They got all of the different things that go with it. They've got some sponsorships and some people that want to put their face on t-shirts and sneakers and all this other stuff. They've got it all. But man, it's not satisfying. And they say, you know what I want to do? Maybe if I could win a championship. If I could help our team get a championship, that would be satisfying. And they're going along and they're coming down to the end of the season, down to the end of the year, and all of a sudden there's an injury and they're out for the rest of the season. And the doctor walks in the room after a few months and says, you know what, you're not out of the season. You're done playing this sport. And they've given up everything else. And they thought this was going to provide for them. And now at the age of 25, it's over. Their dream is shattered. And they say, what is the meaning of my life? Where's purpose? Because God has put it within every human being to crave an impact. Listen, we must be a church who says we are not going to sit here and be in maintenance mode. We are not going to do church to be in this for religion. We are not here to go through the rituals and to go through the routine. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because we want to make an impact. We want to make a difference. Think of the New Testament words. You got words like salt. You got words like light. You got expressions like you are a body part that you're supposed to be making a difference in the body. Are you salt? Are you light? Look at the New Testament expectations. You look at the parable of the pounds or the parable of the talents that tells you that you're a steward and God has entrusted some things to you and you're supposed to make an impact with what He's given to you. Look at the truth of the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And everything of your life is going to be put to the flame, going to be put to the match, going to be put to the fire to see if you did anything of eternal value, anything that really made an impact. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 14 sometime, and it says that you're supposed to do good works for necessary uses so that you can be fruitful. You're supposed to be out there and bearing fruit in the Christian life. Listen, friend, the clear expectation of Scripture is that the local church, that the local assembly of believers must have an impact. We cannot simply exist. We cannot go through the routine for 10 years, 5 years, 30 years as a church. We must be making a difference. And I believe one of the tricks of Satan, one of the lies of Satan is, you can be a Christian, that's fine. You can go to church, that's fine. Just don't get involved. Just be too busy. Just have other priorities. Just don't make it important. Don't join. Don't do anything to help out. You can go. It's okay if you show up every once in a while. Just don't roll up your shirt sleeves here. This morning, God's put upon my heart to challenge our church to get a vision for making an impact. And there are three areas that God expects the local church to make an impact upon. Let's ask God's Spirit to challenge us to be a church that makes an impact. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us to see in your word the importance of making an impact. Lord, may our church be that kind of church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want you to see this morning from the Word that our church must impact its people. Our church must impact its own people. We want to have a church that impacts you, that makes a difference in your life. You're in 1 Peter chapter number 5, and here in verse number 1, Peter is speaking to the elders, to the pastors, and he says, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. One of the ways that we want to impact you, I'm going to give you 5 real quick ones here. One of the ways that we want to impact our own people is we want to, first of all, feed our people. Do you see the importance of spiritual food? As I was at camp this week, I helped some with camp, but naturally, you all anticipated that I was going to be preaching this morning, and so I did need to prepare a few messages. And so I would go to town at some points during the day and do some studying, and one day I was studying at McDonald's, and it worked out really well. I was able to study there for about 4 or 5 hours, and really focusing on studying and everything, and for, you know how you are, you're just kind of oblivious to everything that's going around you, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, your ear tunes in on this conversation. This mom's talking to her little child there and visiting with her about something, and all of a sudden I tuned in at this point of the conversation where the mom said, "We have money to feed the dog or buy a leash for the dog, but not both." I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the conversation was. This is South Dakota. Maybe there's not leash laws. I don't know. And the little child, or the toddler said, "Buy a leash." And the mom replied, "Well, then the dog will die." I guess that was the obvious situation that it was going on in there. The point of the matter is, the dog needs food. You need food. I need food. And listen, there is something in our lives that we need spiritual food here. And we need to come and to feed on the Word of God. Our Christian life needs food. It needs people who are going to open the breadbasket of Scripture and take us to the bread of life, take us to the fountain of life-giving waters. And I wonder if there are times when you come to church and your soul is hungry. Your soul is craving some food. It's starving there. It just needs something to eat spiritually. And you come in with your hands open. You come in with your heart open. And you just want the Scriptures to be open and someone to feed your soul that spiritual manna that you need from above. And listen, that's what we want to do. We want to feed you. We want to impact you. It's my responsibility as a pastor to feed you. It's our church's decision. We have decided that they're going to pay a pastor, who is me, to study this book to feed you. 4 times a week I give you meals. And you can take advantage of those. The last 5 or 6 years, we have fed on Colossians and 1 John and Ecclesiastes and Malachi. We've studied Timothy and Titus and Judges and Joshua and 1 Corinthians and Acts. We've studied Bible characters like David. We've studied topics like prayer and faith. We've studied key doctrines like the Holy Spirit and God Himself. We've studied current issues that are out there and false religions. We've taught you how to lead songs. We've taught you how to share your testimony and how to teach a Bible story. We've trained you in how to use the Romans Road. We've dealt with how to see change in your life and how to work through the emotions and struggles that we have with the emoticons of life. We've taught on marriage and we've several times worked on parenting. There is all sorts of material that's here if you will come and feed on it. And that's one of the truths, one of the important things in a church. We want to impact you by feeding your soul. And I hope that we do so. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In just a moment, I'm going to have to shift and start quoting these, or we will be here till noon. Instead of having you turn to all these, it's a topical message this morning. Not only must we feed people, but if we're going to impact you, we must perfect you, if I can say it that way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. That is one of the ways that we're going to impact people, is by perfecting people. The word perfecting there is equipping them. It's training them. It was a word sometimes used even in medical circles for setting a bone so that a bone could function in the way that it's supposed to function. And that's the responsibility of our church, is to train you. There was a young man in camp this week, and he is in the army, and he's going to Germany even this week. He had 2 weeks of leave, and so one of those weeks of leave before he went to Germany was to come to camp and to be around camp and to help out some with camp. I talked to him a little bit, and he said that he'd been trained to work with satellite communications, and I didn't get into all the details of it. I think he'd been in maybe for a year or something. I don't know the exact timeline. But in my mind immediately went to the thought that here is the military, and they've got these guys that are in here for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. I'm not a military man with expertise in all this. But they bring these guys in, and they train them in how to do something. They're constantly training. This is how to do this, and you guys are going to be skilled in this, and you're going to be skilled in this, and they teach them, and they prepare them. And listen, that's exactly what we must be as a church. That's exactly what I've got to work on as a pastor, is training you and teaching you and equipping you to tell others about Christ and equipping you to tell a Bible story and equipping you to be able to serve in the area. And you know, our church is going to be an imperfect church. Because we're going to celebrate and we're going to rejoice when people are rookies and they're saying, I want to serve God. I don't know how. We give them some training and they get up and you know what? It's not going to be perfect. And we're okay with that here. We're not okay with it's not perfect because I was lazy and I didn't put any effort in it. We're not talking about that. But we're going to celebrate that people want to serve God and they're learning how to do that. And we're thrilled and we're excited because we're perfecting them, not only in training them, but also verse 13 says, to maturity, to that knowledge of the Son of God, that where they measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, growing people. Growing them, look at verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That we're going to feed people, and then number 2 here, we're going to perfect them to the place where they're trained to serve, where they're mature, and they're no longer tossed around by all sorts of false teaching. And the devil's got all sorts of lies, I mentioned that earlier this morning. He's got lies about entertainment and materialism and relaxing. The people are deceived by false teaching. They're deceived by poor ethics. They're deceived by legalism. They're deceived by liberalism. They're deceived by license. They're deceived by spiritual laziness and lethargy. And they're tossed to and fro. Let's be a church that builds an army of trained men and women and let's impact these people. Third way we want to impact our people is in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Scripture says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Provoking to love and good works. We need to be provoked because we get lax. We get settled here. Sometimes we get discouraged or we get distracted in our spiritual lives. And we need to be provoked. You know what that word provoked means? It means that I'm sitting there and I'm lazy and I'm relaxed and I'm doing nothing. And somebody comes along and they irritate me a little bit. And they get me up and they get me going again. That's what it means. Irritation in the good sense. It's lighting a fire under somebody who's just sitting there. It's stirring the nest a little bit, making them uncomfortable to just sit in the nest when they need to get up and soar. They need to get out there and fly. They need to get out there and be the person that God wants them to be because they've been comfortable, they've been lazy, and they need someone to stir them up and say, get out there and serve God with your life. We're going to be a place, number 3, that's going to provoke people to love and good works. You're not going to be comfortable here. You're not going to be able to just sit there and do nothing and just go through the motions because God expects more of you. God enables more of you from your Christian life here. And this week I took a couple hours and I sat down with an individual and just talked to him about what we wanted to do as a church and where we wanted to go and some burdens on my heart and some vision and some things like that and got some ideas. And man, he started pouring into me some ideas and communicating. We were brainstorming about those things. And 2 hours later, I walked away and jotted a whole bunch of things down from our conversation. What had he done for 2 hours? For 2 hours, he'd provoked me. For 2 hours, he'd irritated me. For 2 hours, he'd lit a fire under my seat. And man, I was excited. I'm ready to go and serve God and be the pastor that God wants me to be. And that's what I want our church to be. Let's be a place that provokes and stirs and inflames and excites people to serve. Why is pastor constantly saying, get involved. We need help. Don't just attend. Join. He's saying that because that's what the church is supposed to do. And that's what the pastor is supposed to do. In that Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 passage, it's directly connected between assembling yourselves and being challenged to get involved and serve God with your life. And men, I don't have time to dwell here, but men, we have got to lead the way. We have got to be men who are involved. Husbands and fathers who step up and say, I'm going to be the man of God that God wants me to be. And I'm going to be involved in church. And I'm going to lead my family to be the spiritual people that they ought to be. Number 4, our church must serve people. If we're going to impact people, we're going to have to serve people. The scriptures tell us this. The word fellowship means that we share in other people's lives here. The scriptures tell us that we are a body and there's all these different body parts and they impact each other and they minister to each other. Serve each other. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 1 Timothy chapter 5 tells us we're supposed to care for those who are widows indeed. First John chapter 3 and verse number 16 says that if you see one of your brothers or sisters that has a need and you have the ability, you're supposed to meet that need. You're supposed to help them. You're supposed to care for them. Let's be a church that cares for our people, that serves other people, where friendships and relationships are important, where people love getting together with each other, seeing the needs and helping each other, using our spiritual gift for others. Number 5, as we think about impacting our own people, let's impact the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 24 and 25 talks about it, referenced it so many times. That here is a lost person who comes into the church service, and he says when that lost person comes into the church service, they should be seeing the work of God through your life, and they should see that God is in you of a truth, and they fall down and worship God. They've trusted Christ as Savior here. Lost people come to our services. And listen, we want to be impacting our own people that come, these visitors that come, these people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And listen, we're going to have to work on it. We're going to have to be more of a welcoming church. We're all growing in that. But beginning with myself, I can be more welcoming. We're going to have to keep seeding in mind at times. We're going to have to think as we grow and go forward that we're going to have to think about parking. Do we want a visitor parking spot so that they can easily find that? I, as a pastor, have to work on messages that apply to the lost here. Are we ready to minister to them? Are we inviting the lost to come and be a part of it? Who wants to have a church that impacts its own people? You want to make a difference. Listen, don't you crave to come to church to be impacted? Don't you crave to come to church and say, I want to be different and I want something to feed my soul and I want to be challenged to serve God with my life? I don't want to just come out of routine. I don't want to just come out of ritual here. I don't want to just come because I don't got anything better to do on a Sunday and on a Wednesday. I want to come to be impacted. I don't want to just come to maintain. Who wants to be a part of a church where they're impacted? Who wants to make a church where people are impacted here? It's an important thing here. Listen, it largely does rest on my shoulders as a pastor, but if you think it only rests on my shoulders as a pastor, that is not what the Word of God says. It rests on your shoulders as a member of Coon Rapids Baptist Church to make a difference. It takes you. And I'm thankful for a layman who works with youth and impacts my kids. And I'm thankful for the layman who worked with youth that impacted my life. And I'm thankful for the assistant pastor that impacted my life at church. And I'm thankful for the 3 different sets of children's workers in this church that impact my children. And I'm thankful for the men in my church when I was a teen boy who took me aside and got me involved and took me under their wing and poured themselves into my life. I'm thankful for a church that impacted me. And that's what I want, and that's what God wants for our church. Number 1, we must be a church that impacts its own people. Go to 1 Thessalonians. These points will be a little bit shorter. You say, yeah, right. Well, hopefully they will be. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul came to Thessalonica on his second church planting trip, his second missionary trip. He'd been shamefully entreated in Philippi. And from there he moved on to Thessalonica. You can read the story sometime in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Thessalonica. For 3 Saturdays, he taught in the synagogues and ministered there. And by the end of the time, the scripture tells us that some people had believed. Some of them were the Gentiles that had become Jews, and they eventually decided to become Christians. Some of them were just some of the leading women of the town. And the scripture uses such words, Luke records these words, that it wasn't just 1 or 2, but it was many of them that had trusted Christ as Savior. A great multitude. And the Jews were watching this, and the Jews were a little bit ticked at it because so many people were now following Christianity that Paul taught there. And so the Jews went out and stirred up trouble against Paul. We don't have time to look at all of that, but they were very upset because Paul was having such an impact, the gospel that Paul was preaching rather, was having such an impact upon this city. And Paul sometimes later writes to this church that got started in that city. And notice what he says in verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Okay, there's their salvation. In much affliction. Wow. persecution right off the bat, much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Number one, our church must impact its own people. Number two, our church must impact its own region. Its own region. And the Apostle Paul comes in and he talks to these Thessalonians and he says, listen, you guys trusted Jesus Christ. And when you trusted Jesus Christ, he says, the word of the Lord sounded out through you throughout all of Macedonia and all of Achaia. Those were Roman provinces. And Thessalonica was the major city in the province of Macedonia. Achaia was below it, underneath it, down where Corinth was and everything like that. But Macedonia was the upper portion there. And they were the prominent city. Thessalonica had two main trade routes there. They had the Ignatian Way, a major Roman road going east and west. And they also had a port that allowed them to communicate with all of the Mediterranean, as well as to allow inward connections through the river there. So it was a major hub, a major city. It was the mother city of all of Macedonia. And God brought Paul to preach the gospel to these people. And these people trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And they got on fire. And Paul says, listen, you spread it not only throughout Thessalonica, but through all of Macedonia. And not only through Macedonia, but through all of Achaia as well. He said, so much so that we don't even have to say anything there because you guys spread the gospel so efficiently, so effectively. Verse 7, you're examples to everybody throughout this. You spread it abroad. It says, in fact, in verse number 9, he says, we can tell how much of an impact we made on you by looking at the converts that you made throughout the area. We can tell. What an amazing, what an incredible thing as they impacted their area. It was an awesome and a wonderful thing here. In Acts chapter 19, verse number 10, Paul goes to another city just across the way. It's a city you're familiar with. It's Ephesus. He goes to Ephesus. 19:10 says this, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. He's there 2 years, and all those in Asia hear the word of the Lord, whether they're Jews or Greeks. 2 years. Why? Because he comes into Ephesus, sees people get saved. He trains people like Epaphras, who we believe Epaphras takes the gospel back to his own city, to his own town there of Colossae in that region, tears the gospel, probably becomes the founding pastor of that church there. And the gospel spread throughout that entire area, starting in Ephesus. Listen, God has challenged me to have a bigger vision for our church. We've got to have a vision not only for our community, and we need to work on that, but we need to have a vision for our region. And that was always the Apostle Paul's mindset. His mindset was, I'm coming in here, and I'm sharing the gospel with people. I'm coming into these major cities, and these major cities are going to see people get saved, and they're going to send somebody out to this country town, rural area. They're going to send somebody out, and they're going to share the gospel throughout this area. And that's how I'm going to reach an entire region. We live in the metro. We live in the Twin Cities. We live in an area where there are thousands upon thousands of people here, and we have got to be a church that has a vision for our region. We have missionaries throughout all of the metro area up in this northern part. Missionaries called members. They live in Ramsey. They live in Andover. They live in Blaine. They live in Champlin. They live in the area. And God has given you your address for a specific purpose so that you can reach the people in that area and so that we can reach this region. Not just a couple people, not just one city, one community, but an entire region. That is God's goal. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, there's your city, in Judea, that's a region, Samaria was an ethnically different region, and onto the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us to reach our region and impact our region. Who wants to make that kind of an impact through this church? Get a vision for making an impact on the metro through Coon Rapids Baptist Church. But God's vision for our church is not yet done. He's got a broader vision, not only that will impact our people and impact our region, but number three, impact our world. God wants us to impact our world. I want you to go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we'll read that account of when Paul came to Thessalonica. Acts chapter number 17. And this is now the allegations that they make against Paul and his group. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, they were jealous at Paul's success, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These men that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." And they look at Paul. They're looking at him, they're thinking of him in their minds anyway, and they say that he's turned the world upside down. God anticipates that the local church is going to impact the world. He promised from the very beginning in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, that he would build his church. He said in Acts 1 and verse number 8 that we're supposed to have a vision of taking the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. There was a generation of Christians not long ago who looked at it and they said, by God's grace, we can get the gospel throughout this world. We can share the gospel to the world. We can see it accomplished in our lifetime. Mark 16, verse 15, we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28 and verse number 19 tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You got the technology. You got the understanding. We have radio. We've got the internet here. We've got abilities of transportation and flight. We've got some incredible resources and MP3 players and the digital age. Let's get a vision for getting the gospel to the world. Let's be involved. Let's say, what can we do to get the gospel, not just to impact our own church, not just to impact our region, but let's send it abroad throughout the entire world. And this church has long been known for that. For years, we've been a mission-supporting church, supporting missions, praying for missions, financially investing in missionaries. Let's build on that foundation and let's go further. Let's be asking God to take some of our sons and daughters, send them out. Let's ask God to help us to reach some foreigners, some people that move to our area from around the world, save them, grow them, mature them, and send them back to their countries to be missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ here. They've come to us, and it could be that God would use us to send them back to reach the world. And friends, today I'm asking you, if we're not here to make an impact, then why are we here? We're not here to go through the motions. We're not here to say, great, I've done church for July 1st. Now I can go party for the rest of the day. Now I can go have fun and do my own thing about this. We're not here to just do all of those things. We're here to make an impact. We're here to make a difference in the lives and in the hearts of people. And you say, well, listen, you don't understand. It's a hard day and the forces of Satan are against us and are attacking us. Have you not read your New Testament? Have you not read the scriptures where there was all sorts of satanic oppression and difficulties and spiritual warfare and fights that were out there? And if God could do it 2,000 years ago, he's still on the throne and he can do it today. You say, well, there's a bunch of mediocrity and there's a bunch of spiritual laziness and the people just aren't, Christians aren't interested anymore. Have you not read Revelation chapter 3 of the Laodicean church and how they were lukewarm and they were pathetic and they were disappointing to God, and yet God did a marvelous and a wonderful thing? And if you don't want to serve God and you want to be lethargic, God will use somebody else. God can overcome that in the past and he can do it now. And folks, I want to be a part of God building a church here. I want to be effective in my evangelism. I want the power of God upon my life. And God is going to grow and revitalize this church. And we're going to grow to the point where we can impact our community, where we can see people get saved in this community. And God wants to use me to be the pastor of this church, to be the person to lead that. And God wants to use you. He wants you to be involved in it. We talk about that on Sunday nights, preparing the team. Don't waste your life. I don't want to go through the motions. If you want hobby Christianity, where you can just tag a little Jesus onto the rest of your life, you're welcome to come, but I promise you I'm going to do all of my best to keep you irritated and provoked and uncomfortable every moment that you are here. Not being unkind, but because that's what this book says. That's what my Lord tells me to do. Because Christianity is not about going through the motions. It's about making an impact. You're not going to be comfortable here just riding the bench. So I want to know, do you want to impact our own people, our own region, and our own world?
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.